We're going to turn now to our first interview of the morning. We've got Simon Dickey in the studio. Good morning.
Hey, g'day, Aaron. Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's really good. I enjoy when Arts Weekend comes. I get to talk to a few artists. And yeah, I think you're the third one so far, and there was a few more to come later on in the week. So,
oh, it's a real buzz. I think this is quite unique, really, that a little town has this really big art community. And I think it's just growing. I think... Yeah, it's something quite unique to old New Zealand, and there's so much talent here. I think I'm really in awe of a lot of the talent that I see at Rag and Life Drawing on Tuesday nights, and it's a great opportunity to connect with those guys like Doug Ford and Dominique and Stuart and Martin Tenbrook and that. And you sort of got each other's back in a way, and I think that's really powerful.
It kind of spurs you on.
Yeah, very... The critiquing and the chatting, and it's you're not on your own here, you know. Mm, I think that's really what I find unique compared to the city.
It's an artist around every corner.
Yeah.
So is this your first Arts Weekend?
Yeah, this is my first, yes.
Okay, so how far into your career are you? From talking to you just before, it didn't sound like you're that far into the serious arts career.
Well, yeah, I studied design, and I did the whole graphic design thing for many years, and had a design company, a digital company in Auckland. But I was I always had this burning desire to be an artist, and when I was in my mid-30s, I still had this this comment that a design tutor said at design school saying.
So this is 15 years earlier.
You're not much of a drawer. I think you focus on design, and it set me up, you know. But I still thought I was a good drawer. So I started doing life drawing, and then after a first term in Auckland at Brown School of Art, the last day I did this drawing with two hands, and he said, "I haven't seen anyone draw like that for 15 years." And I thought maybe there's something here. So I went every term for 7 years. I did. Wow. About 28 terms of drawing, life drawing, and had some pain points. You know, you have your strengths and your weaknesses, and just worked on that. And I just love the passion for it. And moving to Raglan has given me the opportunity now to like push the design career aside, and still keep it there because you got to earn money, right? But and then now really just get into the art and just love it, you know. Just and so it's not just a hype. I guess it's not just a hobby. It's something I just live and breathe now. It's all around me, and I think Raglan is just such a melting pot for creativity because of the fact that it's chilled. Doesn't have traffic lights. It's a place you can breathe and really find your true self. You know.
So that comment made by your tutor when you were younger, do you credit that with where you are now, or would you credit that with holding you back for a while? Which way do you actually think that played you?
I think it set me up. It's funny. I had an exhibition in Auckland some time back, and he saw it. And he says, "Geez, Simon, your work is really good." And he can't remember that comment. But
did you try to remind him?
No, I was too afraid to. But it's amazing how one little comment from childhood could really carry forward. But there is a positive silver lining out of anything like that.
Of course, I think that's probably the way to look at it.
Mm.
So for people who we're on the radio. Mm. People can't see your art right now. How do you describe your art when you have to do it that way?
I've always loved the energy of capturing something in real time, whether it's a figurative artist or a portrait. And this year, I dabbled with capturing some live music in the yard, some live jazz, and now it's really I've just been really connected to the weather and the light and the sun. And all of that I've just mentioned all has this sort of ethereal motion about it. It's like nothing is static. Like even a landscape, if you look at it right now, it's not static. There's little waves of the leaves out there, and the clouds are moving. So it's just trying to sort of capture the energy of the before and after and in between, and so it really sort of trying to sort of feel the movement of light and the energy from it. It's a real feeling thing, and if I can't capture that, And then it's a dud. Then I do another one. So,
okay. And so at the very basics of that, we're talking oil colour, are we?
Yeah. Working with all my works, I start off with charcoal and I do 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 drawings of what I'm working with and then really understand it. So last year I did a study on Hanet, this flamenco dancer from Holland, and so I just kept...
I think I interviewed her.
Yeah. We just had this sort of... I just drew her one day and it just saw something here, and so then I started painting her, but it was through the drawing that I learned to understand her, understand what the energy that she was portraying in the dance.
And then
trying to replicate that onto oil was where I sort of really developed that sort of motion.
So you're doing the charcoal sketches while she's dancing, but the oil might be done later on?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you say about learning that. This is barely a comparison, but I have had the experience. My youngest daughter's involved in Paddy's dance classes here in the town hall for years, and I used to video it and then edit it at the end of each year. And I didn't get dance. You know, I was like that usual Kiwi guy, like really disconnected from that sort of thing. But the process of editing, where you watch over and over and over again, I got to kind of appreciate it.
Mm. And you can really feel what they're feeling and the energy they're putting into the movement and what they're experiencing emotionally. And these, if you can connect to that to them in that way, I think you can really pull something out of it. And whether you're cutting that film like you're talking about, or whether trying to paint that and feel it, it is a feeling thing. It's not just for me just trying to capture how it exactly looks. It has to have some the emotion in it, and I have to feel emotionally connected to that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I walk away and have a coffee. You
know? But I guess there's something in that. If you don't understand something that repetitive, you talk about doing 50 sketches, that's that repetitive thing is how you learn about it. You can't just get that from watching it once.
No. I think it's wonderful just to, you know, like draw and paint like a 3-year-old or 5-year-old, because they just keep drawing and there is no critique on their work. You never hear a 5-year-old go, hey, I don't think this is that good, Mum.
I really regret the way I handled that part.
But if you talk to an adult at life drawing, they're going, oh, you know, you come up to them and you tell them how nice that drawing is, and they go, well, I'm not really sure about it. But we're too critical, and that's what I get inspired by kids, is the fact they just draw massive amounts and they don't care. And I sort of trying to take that leaf and bring it into my work is just draw and draw and paint. And it's not always going to happen, but when it does, it can be electric and it can have this real energy to it. But along the way, you know, I put a knife through a couple canvases. I have to. I just have to rip that canvas with a knife if it's not working, because it's just one way of clearing it and getting it out the door, you know.
Yeah. We were talking just before off the air. There's a picture of Amy Winehouse here in the studio, folks, and we talked about her for a moment, and you talked about her being, I don't think fearless was quite the word, but she wasn't afraid to go places, and that fed into her art. And the way you're talking about, like, you know, draw like a kid, like, that's fearless as well, isn't it?
Yes, fearless. It's the sort of just massive amount of belief. I don't give a flying flower about what anyone else thinks, and really just ripping into it like Amy did, you know, like she came up with something quite unique there and she just entrenched herself in it. And I think we can't be afraid, you know, we have to just delve into, and all of us are so unique, and I'm just sort of delving into that myself, is finding what's really me. And you know, that journey is so constant, and here we are building up to Raglan Arts Weekend. This is probably where all the artists are at. This is where I'm at this Saturday, and in 2 weeks' time, I'll be in a slightly different place with my art. But that's what's wonderful about it, is the journey is just never ending. Yeah.
So you've done commercial design work as well.
Mm.
Is it safe to bring that fearlessness into that?
I love to try and do that. I love it when clients just believe in what we're trying to do as communicators, trying to help them sell stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
It's when a client can just like surrender to what you're going to create. That's wonderful. Generally, they tend to fall on the safe side and then cut things out that are the magic essence of it. So,
so yeah, yeah. And they are the ones paying, so I guess
yeah.
You're kind of almost in a position where they're probably giving you advice about how to do it
in a way. Yeah, you do get a bit of that. But it is wonderful when you can literally just go for it, because creating a brand or developing some graphic design for some communication, it's you're really trying to create a unique individual in a way. It's treating the company like an individual. It's like a persona. And if that's beautiful, unique, it's really going to pop compared to its competitors. Otherwise, you're very much a generic brand, you know.
Yeah. You don't sound like the type of artist who gets inhibited by as soon as there's money on the line or expectations or anything like that. It feels like the way you're talking that you can fairly easily find your way into that pure creative space when you need to.
Yeah, it's funny. I did a painting last Sunday. Well, I did one, the last couple of Sundays. And I spent pretty much Saturday just preparing the studio, which so just to get rid of any clutter or any. But when I walk into that space on the Sunday, it's just pure bliss, you know. I'm not bringing in any negativity or anything that's on the back of my mind. I've got to get that job done. It's just pure fun, and I just love that, you know. And I can see that sort of childhood state of me doodling on a sketchbook that my mum bought me when I was 9, and just drawing a shoe. And I just love falling into that zone again. You know, it's just sort of hypnotic. It's just sort of transcends it. Just you sort of forget. It's meditation in a way too.
Yeah, well, I mean, the point of meditation is to try to tune into something else, I guess, a little bit. And that's if the creativity is going well, you could be tuning into the same thing. I don't know, but
yeah, I think it's getting lost from your day to day reality. I think that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just letting that rip, and I guess, you know, some people take drugs and alcohol to go into that state, but hey, that's cool. But I think it's wonderful to be able to just explore and not be inhibited and not be weighted down and just have fun, you know. It is just fun for me, you know.
Yeah. You talked about drawing when you were a kid. Did drawing come easily?
Yeah, I loved it. I struggled with math and English in my early years, and art was sort of like one thing I was okay at. And I came home one day when I was 9, and I showed Mum a shoe I drew, and she went and bought me a sketchbook and a few pencils, and that was the beginning of it. And I just remember we went away that Easter on our yacht to Rangitoto, and I filled up the whole sketchbook that week. You know, I just sat there and drew, and I drew boats, I drew seagulls, and I still remember that. And it's really nice that I really appreciate my mum and my dad to just support that little sort of spark that was right at the beginning, you know. Mm. And, just went for it, yeah.
There's often a move politically to say we've got to get back to serious stuff. We've got art in schools is a waste of time. Mm. What do you feel about that kind of perspective? Oh, it's not practical. It's not useful.
I feel like art and music is so like underplayed by a lot of parents in society. I was driving down listening to the classical radio from Auckland yesterday, and he was talking about a series of musicians that came together. It was the Auckland Musician Jazz Club. And he's witnessed these great young musicians that he doesn't see anymore because he said their parents said, you've got to go and get a real job. And at the end of the day, what do we want with our kids? Do we want them to have a real job and have some money? Or do we want them to be really happy doing what they do?
Yeah.
And I think being happy doing what they do, they're going to bring something really unique and special to the world. And through that, they're going to be rich in so many parts of their lives. And so, yeah, I think it's so important. It's, you know, with all the wars and ugly parts of life around, it's the art and the music that carries us forward. It's the art that drives the world in a way.
Yeah.
It's the creativity. Without that, where do we get our inspiration from, you know? So I think it's really important, and we should be pushing that more in schools.
Yeah. What do you say to people out there who are kind of like, they're well into their career, their mum didn't give them the sketchbook when they were a kid, then the teachers told them that they should be serious and get a proper job, but they've always wanted to do art. I mean, what do you say when you meet someone like that?
I think it's wonderful. I think everyone has an opportunity to delve into that, whether they're like 30 or 50 or 60 or 70. I can't see any reason why they can't develop it into a beautiful practice, because it's just practice. It's just time on the tools. And when I started drawing the figure, my art teacher, Matt Brown in Auckland, said, you know, you're really good at the quick stuff, but when you get to the longer detail poses, it looks a bit contrived. And so what do? Just keep doing it. And then you start breaking through, and your weaknesses start to become your strengths. And that's pretty cool too. Yeah. You know how you sort of, you get framed by what people say and what people think of you as a child or a teenager.
Yeah.
We're delving a lot into childhood stuff today, aren't we? but why not become an expert of what you're weak at when you're younger, you know? Or why not nurture that talent that you had when you're younger and you believe in it? Because you can develop it. It's just time. That's all it is. It's just time.
And patience.
And patience.
I think patience, because I was like, I preferred taking photos than drawing, because the photo always came out right and the drawing didn't come out right. You know, as a young person, as a teenager.
But maybe...
And that was... I was worrying too much about what other people are thinking based on what you've been saying. Yeah,
we do, don't we? We do worry. And maybe you've got a good drawing talent there, but you just haven't had the chance to really nurture it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think it's just so nice to be able to just make the time, you know, just go and grab that charcoal stick and be messy with it. Don't be afraid with it. And
yeah,
draw with two hands. Hey, draw with your left hand. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think I started doing better drawings with my left hand.
Oh, really?
It just seemed to be like not contrived, you know, it just seemed to be, and not lift, like doing a portrait with your left hand and not lifting it, the charcoal off the paper, and just seeing what happens when you continue that line.
Interesting. So how long have you been taking your... I know you had like 7 years of doing life drawing.
Yeah.
But now you're putting your art out there and you're selling it. Like, how long have you been doing that?
Only two years.
2 years.
I guess in the last 10 years, I had a few live installations in Auckland where I would create, bring 12 easels in a room, in a space, in a gallery, like on Kay Road or Ponsonby, and have a model walk into the room with some music, like from the... I had a guy from the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra on the cello, and he came in and played, and this lovely model came in and dropped her gown and the lights went dark and just drew 12 drawings in 12 minutes walking around the room, only doing 1 minute on each easel. So it was really expressive. It was very vulnerable. Some of them worked, some of them didn't, but it didn't matter because it was just the process. And I want to bring a bit of that into Raglan Arts Weekend this weekend. And so I'm going to be doing a live painting performance on Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour at 2 o'clock in Volcom Lane, outside Barry's, B-Rex framers there, undercover there. And I'm going to be painting this ethereal wind and light landscape series. So
that might fit in with the weather forecast, the wind.
I couldn't have orchestrated that any better, Aaron. We've got this front coming through, I think, around about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. And it's going to be wind and it's going to be rain. And it's just like what we don't want for Raglan Arts Weekend, but I think it's just going to add to the whole drama.
Yeah, it sounds like the way you go about things, I think that you'll just incorporate that rather than let it inhibit you. And I actually imagine the way everything's laid out, it might be sort of, you might actually be sheltered under the cover there. You might be on the right side of the lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just enough shelter to not.
Just enough shelter. Yeah. But water on oil doesn't really affect the oil paints, I don't think, right? So should be okay. But it's just going to add to it. I think nothing's ever perfect, and it could be something great come from it. So it's going to be good. I may pull something off on Saturday or Sunday. It may work. It may not. But I'm going to have fun with it, and it's going to be really nice to bring all the study and all the work I've done, just sitting in Raglan on the hills and watching the west coast weather come in over winter. And
so you expect to be doing landscapes with this?
Yeah, I've been really intrigued by the Kanuka tree and at the top of Rangitahi there, at the top, we sort of live not far from there. I see these beautiful trees there that they are shaped to the wind, you know, they've grown like that and they've grown to take on that westerly breeze, and they curved over beautifully, but they look so resilient, and I sort of think it's a beautiful metaphor for life, as we get these hardships but we still keep growing, and we adapt ourselves, and we will stand strong in that ground. And I'm going to bring that bit of that through this weekend.
Any music as well, or not for this one?
We could have some live music there, eh? Maybe that's a good idea, Aaron. Yeah.
It was. I don't want to be. I feel like I'm interfering with the process now.
Yeah. I think the music and art intertwined. I was going to try and do it with the guys from the yard. They've got a live jazz band starting around about 3, but I'm doing. But they've also got the market on there, so we're going to park that idea for another time and use the lane to really express the landscape series that I've been working on.
Yeah, it'll be quite busy down there, won't it, on Saturday? Is it Saturday, the day of the market? I haven't quite.
Yeah, they got Saturday. I think it's from 10 to 3 there. And the yards, the whole lane there is going to have a real vibe in it. And if you want to come down and show me how to do it, that's cool too. You know? I'm up for ideas and inspiration.
And you've also got an exhibition going as
well. Yeah, I've got a gallery space upstairs in studio, so it's where I paint, where I do all my work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have about 25 pieces of works up on the wall there, and some of it will be framed, some of it will be on the easel, some of it will be some hanging working drawings, and I just really wanted to sort of get people to understand the journey, and some of my works have all started with an easel on the farmland.
You take the easel out to the farmland?
Yeah, on a good day I take it out, it's the only way I can really get the true essence of it. I find working with a photo just feels really like 2D, it is obviously 2D, but in nature you just get to see so much more. So I start off with that, and then I go in and I might draw it a few times, and then once I've drawn that scene, I then go and paint it, and when I paint it, I know it in my head, I don't have to look at a photo, and through that the energy comes out in the painting, because it doesn't feel contrived, because it feels like I'm just trying to bring the essence of confident brush strokes and this energy of light, and not overwork. So I try and keep my paintings to about an hour and a half. Any more than that, Aaron, it just starts to look a bit contrived, actually. For me, it does.
Okay, time's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's always movement in just about every. I'm looking on Instagram right now, so that no doubt doesn't do it justice. But I'm seeing movement like all the time in your work, and some of it is specifically about the movement. But even when it's a landscape, the movement's still there.
Yeah.
Or a life drawing.
Even with a still life, the life drawing, you know, it's quite nice when you draw the figure and then they move into a new pose, and then you draw over the top of that previous. Then you get this sort of journey of where they've started in that session into where they ended up, and it's quite it tells a deeper story. I feel like seeing the disgraceful little shifts that can really bring this sort of static world into a sort of a movement. You know, there's never one stop place. This continued story, and I'm trying to bring that continual story through in my work.
It does sound like something that could turn into a mess, the way you describe it. You draw it, they move, you draw over the top. But folks, I'm looking at the art. It's definitely not a mess. It's a long way it's a long way from being that.
Some of it, I just love ripping off the easel and throwing it on the ground. I just love doing that. I think that's really, really good. And, you know, there's a couple drawings that I've done that have been my biggest breakthrough. And one piece, Aaron's just scrolling through here. These Hutter there, who I drew, his family own Roll Up and Bad Brother, the Philip and Lane, and he texted me one day, and he had cancer, and he said, you know, can you draw me? And I said, yeah, I can draw you. And I said, when do you want to do it? And he said, tomorrow. And I said, where do you want to do it? And he said, outside Clover in Vulcan Lane. So, okay, so we did it in Vulcan Lane on a Saturday morning, and we drew him, and the first drawing was, you know, it was all right, and then we had a coffee and some chocolate, and I said, why don't we do one more? And he goes, yeah, let's do one more. And the drawing you're looking at there in the middle, that took me 7 minutes, and
But it didn't happen, it wasn't all about... It didn't take you 7 minutes, though, to do that drawing. That took a lot longer because you had the interaction
and
all that leading up to it.
Yeah, I find the drawing is just sort of like, it's like going to the Olympics and doing all your training. The race is just that, but it's really all the prep work and sitting there talking with Hutter, the big fella he was, just made me, that was my drawing, you know. It was sort of understanding him more and his character and who he is and his big mana. And if I just went straight up and started drawing him, I wouldn't have captured that mana in him. So, yeah, it's often a lot of the time you do away from the paper and the canvas is where you grow too, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, folks, we're talking to Simon Dickey, who is one of the many artists at the Raglan Arts Weekend this year. I can't remember the number, but there's a lot. And we're lucky to have a chat with you this morning. I'm really enjoying the discussion and your art.
Mm.
We need to remind people, though, we've already said, I won't try and remember what you said. You say it clearly, what you're doing and where you are for the Arts Weekend.
So my gallery's in Vulcan Lane, and it's upstairs between the two lanes, Vulcan Lane and the other lane. It's Electric Avenue. Yeah. There's some stairs there.
Yeah.
And it's just up there and you just waltz in and keeping it very casual. There's some pieces hanging there that I've got framed, but there's a lot that are not. And I just want to sort of keep it a lot more conversational and provide people the opportunity to see what it's like to start and what those early drawings look like and the feeling of that process. And it is a bit more grit. It's not all polished and buy me. If you want to buy me, you can. If you don't, you can look and so I'm really trying to get more of the understanding of the process and keep it a bit more informal. And so I'm going to be doing, so I've got my studio upstairs, and that'd be open from 10 to 5 on Saturday and the Sunday. And then at 2 o'clock on the Saturday and at 2 o'clock on the Sunday, I'm going to be doing a live painting. So we'll see how that pans out. I'm excited for it. I sort of really enjoy being in that vulnerable state. And then everyone's watching, and then you're thinking with every stroke, maybe that stroke is not working, and then you have to try and recover it. And everyone's looking, and then the tension builds out more. So
I love how you put yourself into these places. Like you're almost putting yourself out the other side of self-consciousness because it's just too much, and you end up back in the right place.
I have to really go into the zone and block everything out in that moment for 40 minutes and just see what happens. And at the end of the day, whether it's a great piece or not, I think it would be successful just in the fact that people can experience an artist at work, you know.
Yeah, yeah, there's something a little bit different. We don't see that. Like you say, mostly it's the final presentation, the polished, framed item.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I sort of get an energy off everyone there as well, because they're sort of buying into it in a way, and they're supporting it, and I sort of feed off that. It sort of helps me. And sometimes some randomness comes out of me that I haven't done before, so maybe that will happen.
Also, anything could happen by the sounds of it, the way you set yourself up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I do set myself up, yeah. Yes.
Hey, Simon, it's been brilliant talking to you this morning. I hope you have a great weekend and get several hundred people coming through, which sounds possible these days with the way the Arts Weekend goes.
Yeah, hey, I think it's going to be magic. These 60-something artists here, there's a real vibe. Nicola's done an awesome job pulling this together and curating the show, and just the professionalism of the marketing, the storytelling that's out there. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of these stories unfold from the different artists over this week and beyond. I think I just want to say one thing, Aaron, just before I sign off.
That's right. We're pretty loose with the time.
As a day job, I go and photograph houses to go on real estate. And the amount of homes I see that have no art on the wall, or they might have a print from some sort of, you know, nothing that's original. And I think it's a really awesome time. If you haven't bought any art before and you've thought, well, it's not really a priority because I've got other things, but sometimes buying a piece of art from an artist and talking to the artist and understanding the thinking behind that work, and then buying it and putting it up on your wall, you're going to get a lifetime of joy out of that. And I think us Raglan folk should try and support the Raglan artists. Where there's some beautiful talent here. They don't have to be Picassos to be great. There's some probably great Picasso artists here in Raglan. And you have the opportunity of having a piece of that work on your wall and being really proud of it and getting joy from it every day. So there's going to be all sizes of artwork, from small to large. And I think I'm just excited that this brings some more zen into our homes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for coming in, Simon.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Cheers.